Locked On Red Sox, your daily Boston Red Sox podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to the Locked On Red Sox podcast. We thank you for joining us once again and beginning your week with us. I'm Lauren Campbell. I cover Boston sports for NESN. I've been doing this now for 6 years. I cover a lot of Red Sox and Bruins, obviously a lot of Red Sox right now, and my co-host, Boston Herald Red Sox columnist Jason Mastrodonato. It's a couple more years experience on me.
Well, it's not about years experience, Lauren. You bring the perspective we need from the Boston, the local. And I try to bring the perspective from being an outsider, and that's why we have the best podcast ever.
Teamwork makes the dream work, right?
That's right.
We got a jam-packed show for you today. We have a lot to recap. The Yankees series, Jarred Duran finally gets called up and makes his debut. But first, betting on the Red Sox, MLB, it doesn't have to be a guessing game if you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. Get daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favorite picks, and Lee Sterling's lock of the day. Follow the Locked On Bets podcast brought to you by betonline.ag, wherever you get your podcasts. So let's just jump right into it. The Red Sox dropped 2 out of 3 after Thursday's game gets rained out. Really just a very lopsided series, messy series altogether. Especially game two. I think game two on Saturday night was probably the ugliest one of the series. You had Yankees fans throwing a baseball at Alex Verdugo, Alex Cora pulling his players off the field. And then the game was delayed an hour before that for no real reason. They played through pouring rain, and then the Yankees end up going ahead. Game finally gets delayed for almost an hour. No rain in sight, and the game gets called. So just very, very ugly series.
Yeah, it was an ugly series. It should have been the 4-game series where the Red Sox won 3 out of 4 and would be saying bye-bye to the New York Yankees for the rest of the season. And I don't know. If you're Brian Cashman watching this team, I still don't know that you're seeing enough to want to go add. But somehow you listen to Buster only on the ESPN broadcast. You read, you know, Ken Rosenthal and Jim Bowden and the guys who are plugged into the trade stuff. And it's like, everybody still thinks the Yankees are going to be buyers. I don't know. I'm at the end of the day, did it matter that they won 2 out of 3? Were they going to be buyers anyways? Are they not going to be buyers? I just don't see what Brian Cashman would be seeing with this team. The only thing that we saw this weekend, it's probably the only flicker of light for the Yankees, is Gerrit Cole is still really good. And he dominated on Saturday. And I guess, you know, Jameson Taillon looked pretty good against them on Sunday, so maybe they have a number two pitcher as well. I don't know. I wasn't impressed with the Yankees. I wasn't impressed with the Red Sox either. And I found myself thinking, man, the White Sox and the Astros might be the two best teams in the American League.
Yeah, it was just a very lopsided series for the Red Sox. Not a whole lot was working for them. And not a whole lot was really working for the Yankees either. It just seemed that the Red Sox were kind of falling at the perfect time. And this kind of made the Yankees look good this weekend. Not that I think that this is a season-turning series by any means. I don't think the Yankees are going to go on some ridiculous win streak now and get into contention. I still think there's a ton of holes there. But it was just not. If you're a Red Sox fan, and I know you had said this, that this could single-handedly turn the Yankees into sellers and just make. This could be the series that ends the Yankees season, and it did anything but.
Yeah, it really did. And, you know, the other thing you got to think about, too, with as poorly as the Yankees have played is, you know, they're going to want blood in New York. They're going to want Aaron Boone's head, or they're going to want Brian Cashman out. And, you know, when you have a general manager like Brian Cashman, I'm sure he knows where he stands with the Steinbrenner family. If he thinks he's on the hot seat, he could tell. But I wonder how that affects his trade deadline approach. Like, you know what, this might be my last hurrah. If we blow it, I'm gonna get killed. I'm kind of getting killed anyways right now because the Yankees roster, I mean, DJ LeMahieu, they spent a lot of money on, he's not performing. You know, I don't think James Paxton's done anything for them. I'm looking up and down the lineup here of guys they've brought in, and they just didn't really get any production. Guys are having down years all over the place. Corey Kluber got hurt. He was their $10 million signing. So it's looking like Cashman might be feeling some pressure. And that's where I wonder if, you know, the Red Sox really could have just not given him a chance. But now that the Yankees won two, it's like, well, maybe Cashman's just going to go out and add some players.
Yeah, that's a really good point, too. And I feel Yankees fans, much like Red Sox fans, are very, you know, impatient. They're passionate and they want to win now. They want to see moves made. And Cashman very much is on the hot seat. So whether this is his last trade deadline with the Yankees or not, I think there's going to be moves made. I think that there certainly are moves to be made. And I don't think it's going to put the Yankees in contention. I think this season is done for them. I think that they're too far gone at this point. There's really not much you can do. But, I mean, for Cashman, you have to be looking at this team and wondering, what can I do to at least set them up for the future, whether I'm here next year or not?
That's a good point. You know, if he did make trades, would he make trades for the future if that looks better for him on the way out? I think Dave Dombrowski did that right before he left Detroit, where he traded David Price for, I think he got Michael Fulmer, if I'm remembering correctly. Maybe it wasn't Fulmer. Anyways, he got some good prospects for David Price right before he left the Tigers, and then a month later, not even, he was the Red Sox president of baseball operations. So I guess he could leave a mark either way, and I just want to catch myself. I screwed up when I said James Paxton. He's on the Mariners now. I don't know who I was thinking of. I think I was thinking of Corey Kluber, who they signed for $10 million and then got hurt after he threw a no-hitter. But, I think, I don't know what the Yankees are going to do. I really don't. But I'm with you, Lauren. I think that they just don't show anything. They just don't look scary.
They don't. And I watched, you know, Stanton. I know that he's been very inconsistent since coming to the Yankees. Just he does not look like the player they were hoping to get. Aaron Judge is always hurt. Just you go up and down this lineup and it's just, there's no intimidation factor there.
So true. There really isn't. There's no intimidation factor. I mean, I don't know how many players they'd have to bring in to get that intimidation factor. I guess when Judge comes back, I know they've got a lot of guys in the injured list right now, but yeah, that's a team I'm just not really worried about if I'm the Red Sox, which I guess is maybe you could say more of a reason to be concerned that the Red Sox just lost the series to them.
It could be, and it could just been like, you know, they're coming out of the All-Star break. There maybe they need to still get their feet under them. Maybe they're still kind of, you know, recovering from the rest, lack of rest, whatever it was. I'm sure the weather has, you know, that plays a factor in some point to it too.
Yeah, I think so. You know, Alex Cora made the point after the game about saying we're just not making contact right now. There's just too much swing and miss up there. And you hear him when he dissects players, if people ask about like how players are doing, one of the most common things he'll say is, as long as he doesn't try to hit home runs and he uses the whole field, you know, as long as he's staying within himself and having a level swing. And Alex Cora is constantly preaching contact, all fields approach, take what they give you. And we see it often. The Red Sox just slip into this home run happy swings and nothing's happening. And that's kind of what's happening right now. You look at the bottom of the order, there's just so much swing and miss down there. You know, even Hunter Renfroe swings and misses a lot. And by the way, it's kind of quietly cooled down. He hasn't done anything in July and continues to be well below average against right-handers. You know, they rank pretty much near the bottom of the league in production from the 7th spot, the 1 spot, and the 6th spot in the lineup. And you can see it. You can see it on a lot of nights.
Yeah, absolutely. And one thing that happened during this series on Saturday night that I really want to touch on, I mentioned earlier that Verdugo really lost his cool. And I don't think we've really seen this too much since he came into the Red Sox organization. A ball was thrown at him. He said it was meant for a Red Sox fan he saw in the stands. And, you know, sometimes balls just don't get to who the intended target is. It happens all the time. And while he was unaware, it was thrown back to him. And he turned around, words were exchanged. If you can read lips, you probably know what he said. And he was really upset after the game, just talking about, like, he understands trash talk is going to happen. He understands profanities are going to be thrown at him, but he does not want physical objects being thrown at players because it could cause injury. It could cause, you know, anything. It's just stupid. Alex Cora was really upset. Aaron Boone said this fan should be in jail. This fan was banned from Yankee Stadium and all other MLB ballparks. And I do think that's a little excessive. I know they want to send a message. It's just really hard to, like, how do you send that message if you want to be consistent and discourage that kind of stuff from happening? But for me, I felt like that was almost a turning point where I was like, the Red Sox are going to lose this game. They're probably going to lose Sunday. It was just one of those things where you're like, I love the passion and I understand why Alex Verdugo is so riled up. But I was like, this isn't good. Like, this is not going to end well for the Red Sox.
Yeah. If Alex Verdugo is like hitting 300 and just came off the All-Star game, maybe he's feeling a little better about himself. Maybe something like that doesn't rattle him as much. I mean, obviously, listen, nobody wants to get something thrown at you. I mean, that's awful. There's no, you know, I'm not going to debate that. That was terrible. That fan deserves to be banned for life from all ballparks. Probably deserves the death penalty. I mean, right? Might as well just go all the way with it. but I think it's also just kind of a reminder to me that Alex Verdugo is having a frustrating year. That this hamstring seems to be really giving him trouble. Continues to be really awful against left-handed pitching. I mean, I don't even know how they use him against left-handed pitching. And Cora was asked the other day, like, why are you still batting him second? He's hitting 200 with a 488 OPS against lefties. And Cora said he doesn't care about the numbers. He's our two-hitter. He's been a two-hitter all year. It works for us, whatever. I get that, you know? You don't want to be over-relying on the numbers. He's your two-hitter. It works. But at some point, you got to start to look at Alex Verdugo and say, does this guy need a week or two off? Does he need to go on the injured list? Does he need to rest up? Because he's not playing well right now. And he's clearly frustrated, not just getting thrown at. I mean, you see the frustration come out in other ways. He doesn't look comfortable. And I wonder if he's going to need a break.
That's a really good point because that begs the question, is he injured? Is he 100%? Does this hamstring still bother him? And he's made points to it where he said, you know, that, you know, as long as he feels healthy enough, he'll play. And a hamstring is one of those injuries where it's not one you want to mess around with because you want to be as close to 100% as possible. And you need your legs, whether you're DH or whether you're an outfielder, infielder, you need those legs. And if he's not 100%, that could be detrimental going into the playoffs because he was really good until he was hurt. He can provide that spark. He does provide a big outfield presence. But if he's hurt, he's only going to in turn hurt the team.
Yeah, and hamstrings, it does seem like one of those injuries where usually you have to respect it because if you just try to push through it, it lingers. And, you know, I've heard many ball players talk about that. And maybe that's why Verdugo's like, it seems like he's just trying to have a patient approach up there. He's not trying to do a whole lot, maybe because he's not feeling as strong as he normally does. But it's just nothing's working. I mean, he's not striking out, which is great. He doesn't really strike out much at all. But he's not making solid contact. He just doesn't look himself. And so you wonder if rest is going to be the next natural order or if they say, you know what, we just need him. We got to keep pushing because we don't have anyone else.
Coming up, we have some Jaren Duran impressions, what's going on with him, as well as Christian Arroyo. Does that kind of leave a void in the Red Sox lineup?
BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your sports action. Baseball season is in full swing and you can track all the action right at BetOnline. Get all the latest news, odds, and info for all of your sporting needs, including MLB, NBA, NHL, and all of your UFC MMA action. Before next pitch, head on over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore as this is your chance to get into the game as teams prep for their runs to the playoffs. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Use the promo code LOCKEDON and receive your 50% welcome bonus.
Welcome back. So Jaren Duran's long-awaited call-up finally happened. It happened Wednesday night, became official Thursday. Game got rained out Thursday. Wasn't in the lineup Friday. So finally Saturday came along. He looked
so much teasing. So much. It was just a Jaren Duran tease.
It was. But Saturday, he looked good. It was, you know, it was worth the wait Saturday. He had a run, a hit. He had to play peacemaker out in the outfield with Alex Verdugo. Sunday he looked a little lost. I think it wasn't, he didn't look what people really think for him to be, and that's totally fine. You know, he just got called up, but overall maybe I expected too much just because he was so good in AAA. But overall, what did you think Jaren Duran brought or didn't bring to the Red Sox this weekend?
I predicted a home run in his first game and I was wrong, but he did have first pitch rifled one up the middle, which I love. Yeah, I always think about, you know, the story that gets told over and over again with the Daniel Nava first pitch grand slam, first pitch he ever saw in his career, how Joe Castiglione, the WEI, broadcaster told him before the game, hey, you only get one first pitch in your major league career, so swing at it. And I just wonder, you know, if guys think about that when they come up through the Red Sox. And I wonder if Duran was thinking about that as he faced Gerrit Cole, just first pitch swinging on a Gerrit Cole fastball, rifles it into center, and you're just like, yeah, this kid's going to be good. Here we go. And you're right. He had a good game on Saturday. He drew a walk. He scored a run. He was involved. And then Sunday, you start looking at the attack plan, and you're like, uh-oh, this has got Michael Chavis written all over it. Fastballs up. Just fastballs up. Swing, swing, swing. He's chasing. He doesn't chase breaking balls, which is impressive. He seems to lay off breaking balls and off-speed pitches, and actually pretty good plate discipline. I think he worked a lot of long counts. But then he ends up striking out twice, both on fastballs. That's one to watch, right? Is he going to be able to catch up to high fastballs in the big league?
Yeah, I think overall the plate patience is what impressed me the most because I preach plate patience. That's what I loved about Andrew Benintendi, and then all of a sudden he didn't have it anymore. And then I just think it's so important to have. I hate first pitch swinging, but when it works, it works. And then I love it. But overall, I think that, you know, he's working counts. He still looks confident, even if he's striking out. He really is fast. Like, it's crazy how fast he gets down the line. And I was like, he could stretch out these infield singles, no problem. But, you know, I think that it's going to take some time for him to adjust to the big leagues. I think that certainly there's no reason to write him off or be concerned. It's two games and playing in the rain, playing, you know, against the Yankees is always tough. You're away, but your parents are in the stands. Tons of nerves. So I have no issue or no reason to worry about him. What I am worried about, though, is Christian Arroyo. because he played first base Sunday. He got hurt. He went for, you know, tried to make a play, did the whole split thing. Immediately, you could see on his face, he was like, what did I just do?
Your heart just breaks for him there because it's like, he spent about a week working out at first base, and you know, usually it takes guys longer. I think Brock Holt screwed everybody because Brock Holt took fly balls once in the outfield, and they were like, okay, you're playing left field, and he's like, okay, and then he made one of the most ridiculous catches I've ever seen in my 10 years covering the big leagues when he just came out of nowhere and caught that ball. Was that the first game? No, that wasn't his first game. He did make a diving catch his first game in Detroit. He's made some ridiculous catches. But anyway, Brock Holt screwed everybody because now it's like, oh, okay, you've never played this position before at any professional level. How about a major league game for your first start, even though you've barely practiced it? And the poor guy's going to stretch to try to get the out. And it was a fantastic stretch, and it looked like his groin just ripped apart. It was so sad and heartbreaking to see. And then he was down. He was in pain. And Cora said, yeah, he's definitely going to the injured list. Like, who knows how long this is going to be now. And they bring in Bobby Dalbec. He goes 0-for-3 with two strikeouts. It's like, oh, my God, here we go. The first base is a problem.
It is, and it was very much highlighted Sunday night because – you lose Arroyo, and not only are you losing, you know, potential first baseman there, you're losing a big bat in the lineup. You know, they were keeping him in the lineup so they wouldn't lose his bat. Unfortunately, gets hurt. He's going to go on the injured list once again, and nothing is his fault. You know, it's just, you cannot avoid these injuries. And a groin, assuming it's a groin injury, there's no way this is going to be 10 days. It's going to be more. I can see this. I can honestly see them resting into the playoffs.
I'm looking now, and I think they're actually calling it a hamstring.
Ah. Well, still, either way.
Yes, yeah.
Like, it's still a very tricky injury. We just talked about this earlier with Verdugo, where, you know, I would be, you know, upset, obviously, if he has to miss extended period of time. If it meant him being healthy enough for the playoffs, that's what you want. He can rest and he can get himself right and just get the hamstring, the groin, whatever it is, get that injury as close to 100% as possible. Okay. But again, this is the perfect time to make a move for a first baseman. Is that Anthony Rizzo? Is this internal? I don't think this is internal. I think they're trying the internal options and they're not working.
Yeah, where are they going? They're bringing Danny Santana back tomorrow. Your guy is coming up on Monday. He'll be there. So get ready for Lauren's hot Danny Santana takes on Tuesday. So Santana's coming back. I mean, this is a problem, you know. So I wrote in the Herald today that I think Chaim Bloom might actually make a splash I think he's kind of played this, like, you know, nice puppy lying on the ground quietly role. And he's, like, just waiting to just jump and leap at something. He had a really interesting quote. He talked to MLB.com Saturday. I just want to read part of it to you. He said, in some ways it's more complicated when you have a chance to win because you have a lot of different possibilities that you consider. There are certain moves or types of moves that we've discussed where the fit is easier to see than other moves, but I think it's really important to be open to a wide range of possibilities. If you walk past an opportunity to make yourself better, even if it might not be the most obvious fit, you may end up regretting that. So my takeaway from that was, hey, maybe the Red Sox make a move that it isn't a perfect fit, and they'll consider just adjusting their roster anyway to just get a good player and then worry about the fit later. And you start looking at things that happen, like you can't predict what's going to happen later in the season. There's still 2 months left. If they don't make a trade now, they're in trouble. I think they might even get a starting pitcher because they've been so lucky with the injury bug. But if anything happens to Sal, you know, Tanner Houck's already had a flexor strain. They have nobody else. They're so short on pitching depth. And we all remember what happened in 2011 down the stretch when they just ran out of gas. One of the best Red Sox teams of maybe ever didn't make the playoffs. So I think they're going to be pretty aggressive. And you see Arroyo get hurt, Dalbec struggling at first, Danny Santana. Like, they're running out of guys. And they've been so bad against good right-handed pitchers. They're running out guys who are overmatched by these guys. And I think Rizzo makes sense. A pitcher makes sense. I think they're going to do more than we think, more than a lot of fans think they're going to do.
And they need to, because I think they do need pitching help. Well, obviously they do need pitching help. I think people are so hellbent on Sale and just like relying on Sale. And that's great. I'm excited to get him back on this Red Sox rotation too. I can't see him being like vintage Chris Sale right away. He's not going to come in and be the Lord Savior of this rotation. And their depth has been tested, and it's just not passing any test. It's failing. They've tried pitchers, the position players being out of their normal position, and it's just not working. And this is where Chaim Bloom needs to step up and, you know, that aggressive dog. He needs to, you know, take some tips from my dog, where you're just kind of just angry and you're just acting on impulse and just do it. And just gonna, even if it's real, where a rental, it'd be fine. It's gonna get you through this season. I can't imagine there's gonna be one specific player that fans would lose their mind if they give up.
Right. I mean, there's like a lot of these guys that kind of do the same thing, like first base, corner, outfield, left-handed hitting types. There's a lot of them out there. There's Rizzo, Kyle Seager, Joey Gallo, Kyle Schwarber. I mean, I don't know what the price is going to be on these guys, but they're out there. And they would completely change the Red Sox lineup if you imagine Rizzo, Gallo, Schwarber, Seager being at first base instead of Bobby Dalbec. I mean, or one of the corner spots and, you know, move guys over. I think they can make a huge difference.
I think Tua Arroyo's injury is going to highlight this a lot. I think it's going to, this is a need now. This isn't just like a maybe, we sustainable. It's a need. This needs to happen. I did just want to touch on what happened Saturday night. Nationals Park, there was a very scary situation where it was an active shooter situation. Right outside the ballpark, fans were, you know, they didn't know what was going on. If it's inside the ballpark, outside the ballpark, they went into the dugout for shelter. Three people were shot and injured. Hopefully, nobody died. Still a very scary situation all around. Fernando Tatis was getting his family in there. Machado was getting fans into the dugouts as well, just making sure people were safe. Just a very, very scary situation.
It's terrifying. I mean, you see videos, they're interviewing, like, four-year-old girls on the street, like, just trying to go to a ball game. I mean, I don't want to go on my soapbox here, but somebody tweeted that somebody was just exercising their right to fire a gun into a crowd, and it was just, it's just so frustrating. I have nothing to say about it.
You can't see us, but I just rolled my eyes really big, really, really bad when Jason just said that, but it's just awful. You shouldn't have to worry about going to a ball game. You shouldn't be 4, 5, 6 years old being like, yeah, you know, this happens and I'm used to it. No, this is not a normal thing.
If you're a kid there, like, I'm never going to a ball game again. You know, like, anybody who was there, I seriously wonder if how many of them will go to a ball game now. It's just awful.
Did you know that Built Bar has so many delicious flavors? There's something for literally everyone. And if you don't know about Built Bar's flavors, you are missing out. They have coconut, double chocolate, mint brownie, and my personal favorite, cookies and cream. If you haven't tried all the flavors, this is the best part. You can get a mixed box where you'll get two of each of the 9 flavors from Built Bar. Not only are Built Bar flavors the best tasting, but they're also healthy. 17 to 18 grams of protein, calories ranging from 130 to 180, only 4 to 5 grams of sugar, and only 4 to 5 grams of net carbs. Amazing flavors, all healthy, all tasty. Order today and get the grasshopper cookie or raspberry cookies and cream or whatever you want. Built Bar is the official protein bar of the U.S. track and field team. That's pretty neat. Go to built.com and use promo code LOCKED15 and you'll get 15% off your order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. Welcome back. We're going to get to some unpopular opinions right now, and mine has to do with Martin Perez. Oh, he's a fan favorite. I know fans love him because he's very personable. He's active on Twitter. He interacts with the fans. He's always very positive, and that's great. But this man belongs in the bullpen. I know I've said this on this podcast that maybe he doesn't even belong on this team. But I mean, I know they don't have a ton of options right now. They're waiting on Chris Sale to come back. But man, it's just every start, even if it goes into the fifth or sixth inning, he's giving up many runs. He doesn't command his confidence. I don't know what it is. Maybe he's just not a starting pitcher. I don't know. But I need Martin Perez in the bullpen immediately.
You know, when you first said this a week ago, I was like, I don't know. This guy's never pitched out of relief, really. He's really been a starter most of his career. He's been okay this year. But lately, he hasn't. He hasn't been great. And the more I look at him and I watch him pitch, I'm like, maybe he could be all right out of a bullpen. You know, they've got Darwinson and Hernandez, but Darwinson's kind of erratic. You know, if you just needed like a steady guy, if you had like a 4-run lead, you just need a steady guy to kind of get some innings. I could see Martin pitching out of the bullpen. All right, my unpopular opinion is that, and I got this from arguing with Rob Bradford of WEI on Saturday. I said the Red Sox should absolutely consider adding a second baseman at the trade deadline. The Pirates' Adam Frazier is perfect. He hits left-handed. He's a huge contact guy, never strikes out. Great plate discipline. Doesn't have any power, but a great second baseman. We saw him make an awesome play at the All-Star game. Ben Cherington, old friend, can make a trade with the Red Sox, send him here. And Bradford's take is, why would you acquire a second baseman? Christian Arroyo has 6 more years of team control. What a find. He's the everyday second baseman going forward. And I don't think that's true at all. I don't think we've seen nearly enough of Christian Arroyo to anoint him the second baseman going forward. I think the Red Sox have a second base problem. They don't have a second baseman. He's looked perfectly good this year. You know, I've been way more impressed than I could have ever imagined. I didn't think he was going to be much of anything. I mean, usually these prospect types have been traded 3 or 4 times earlier in their career. It's not a good sign. You know, we talked about Jeter Downs, been traded a few times already, really struggling this year. Same thing with Arroyo, but he's having a nice year. He hits lefties really well. And they have like 4 guys on this team that do that. He's hitting 328, 894 OPS against lefties. Against righties, 227, 715 OPS. This guy's not the second baseman of the future. He's an option, and if he recovers from this injury, I'm sure they're going to use him there at points down the stretch. But I think the Red Sox still have a second base problem. They don't know who the second baseman is, and they should be open to considering adding a second baseman if the right trade comes along. All right, so my positive takeaway to end on is Friday night, Tanner Houck came in the game. Oh, my God, Lauren, you should have seen me celebrating. Oh, I mean, I had the whole family over to celebrate. We threw a party. No, I'm just kidding. It was the first time in 3 months that Tanner Houck pitched in a big league game. And, wow, no wonder he's been missing for so long. He stinks. He went out there and threw 3 scoreless innings and struck out 3. He really stinks. He should probably go back to the minors. Send him back. His spin rates were up. And you know, we haven't seen him since early in the year, but his spin rates were up 100 RPMs on his signature slider and 100 RPM on his fastball. So that was kind of interesting. No more sticky stuff. Maybe he was never using it in the first place. He comes up, has a great 3-inning debut, gets the save, his first career save. I thought he looked awesome. They're going to put him back in the rotation against the Blue Jays, so we'll see how he handles the back-and-forth situation. But to see Tanner Houck pitching again in the big leagues, the Red Sox have to be pretty excited.
awesome, and he looked so confident. It looked like he didn't miss a beat. It looked like he should have been up here months ago, save for his injury, but looked really good. He was doing all the right things. He was even saying the right after the game. It's like, he's here to help the team. That's all you can ask for, and I think he's going to have a very, very successful year. So that'll do it for today's show. Thank you once again for spending it one day with us talking baseball. You can find me on Twitter at lalalalauren, three laws, then Lauren, four R's. And please be sure to follow the Locked On Reds on Twitter at @LO_RedSox. Connect with us there. Tell us what you want to hear. Tell us not working. And just any questions you might have at us.
And you can follow me on Twitter at @JMastroDonato or read my work in the Boston Herald. Reach out anytime.
It's MLB draft season, and the Locked On MLB Prospects podcast is covering every future star of MLB. Host Aaron Layton brings you player interviews and farm system breakdowns every single day. Subscribe to Locked On MLB Prospects on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Have a great day. We will see you once again tomorrow.